Thank you, Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Sometimes just to rest upon his promise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While you're standing, if you have your Bibles and you would turn, very common preach from book, Philemon, or Philemon, however you would like to say it, Philemon. Our lesson text comes from this particular passage. It's kind of common knowledge. One of the greatest attended services of all the year is Easter Sunday morning. It's also common knowledge. One of the least attended services in the year is the Sunday following Easter Sunday morning. I'm thankful that you are here this morning, that you made the effort to be in the house of the Lord. Hope that you will leave enriched, blessed by the word. Philemon chapter number 1, because it's the only chapter. Begin reading in verse, man, hard crowd this morning. Goodness. Philemon chapter number 1, begin reading in verse number 10. A letter written at the hand of Paul to Philemon, his brother in the gospel. Obviously by the reporting of the letter, or what's contained in the letter, Philemon was obviously a convert of the Apostle Paul himself, someone that the Apostle Paul won to God by his own hand, if you will, or in some way, shape, or form had a hand in the conversion of Philemon. And so the Apostle Paul writes a letter concerning what he calls, verse number 10, I beseech you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. At one time, this servant of yours was unprofitable, but now he's profitable both to you and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. In other words, receive him like he's my own son, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing. In other words, without your consent, I would not allow this, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Now therefore as a servant, but above, not now rather as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it in my own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self. Besides, topic for this morning, the focus thought, if you will, is because God loves and forgives us, we love and forgive others. Because God loves and forgives us, we love and forgive others. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Lord, I thank you for those who have gathered to hear your word, to be enriched in spirit, God, enlightened in mind. I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your word, God, that we would leave here with greater understanding of the way in which you work, God, that it would cause us to mature, to grow in you, God, to seek to emulate in our own lives, God, those things which are here, those precepts and principles which are taught within your word. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do, in your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray, and everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. There is a company called SharePrint that manufactures decorated apparel. They claim that corporate branded apparel is a powerful marketing tool and opportunity. According to this company, they list 6 benefits of corporate branded clothing. It unites your team, number 1. Number 2, it inspires interest in your company. Number three, it shares your corporate culture. Number four, it gives loyal customers a way to share. Number five, it keeps your employees looking uniform. And number six, it makes a great giveaway. These things are a part of what we would call in the marketing culture branding. Things that identify a certain corporation or a certain company. Maybe it is a certain symbol or logo that you're familiar with and associate with that a certain interest or a certain understanding concerning that corporation. It is that brand, if you will. That thing, if you're from the South, every pop is called a Coke. Now up here, it's called pop. My wife gets on to me all the time because I say pop now, and she's like, what are you doing? You don't say pop. You're from the South. I said, well, you know, you have to conform, if you will, to the Midwest, and so everything's now pop. But in the South, when you go to a restaurant, it doesn't matter if you wanted root beer or Sprite, or you would simply say, I'll take a Coke. And then you would further specify, because they would often ask, well, you like a Coke, Diet Coke, Sprite, Dr. Pepper, and then you would qualify. But the branding of that product is so familiar that you simply say the word and people understand that in general you're talking about a soft drink, even though Coke is a brand of itself. And so this branding is a powerful marketing tool. And if we as Christians, as believers, were to say that there is a brand that should identify us, something that should be a part of all of our lives, something that should be, if you will, worn throughout the day in which we live, it should be the branding of love. Jesus said this in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Number six in that list of benefits says it makes a great giveaway. You just give it away. You put the brand out. It's a marketing tool to do things corporations do all the time where they give out stuff that has their brand and their logo or their motto. Why? Because they understand they're getting it into the hands of people and they want people to associate. It's kind of funny, we were taking some of the kids to meet up with a group from Aurora to go down to the Bible quiz retreat at the Illinois campgrounds. And they were talking about, it was Kinsley was in the front seat and Jeremiah and Austin and Landon were in the back seat. And they were talking about going an egg and sandwich. And we went right before Easter and we took the eggs and egged all the houses. And they were saying something about, Jeremiah said something about his dad. And Kinsley's like, well, I met your dad. And he goes, oh, yeah, that's right. You came to our house when you were egging. And she said, yeah. And then Jeremiah quipped a little bit. He's like, well, even though we have a no soliciting sign. And Kenzie, you know, she's real sharp. She fired back right away. She said, we weren't selling anything. Jesus is free. Just Jesus is free. It's like, hey, we were just there to give away stuff. We weren't there selling anything. Jesus is free. And I thought about that. In reality, many times the world sees the church as an institution that just wants to take. When in reality, the church should be seen as an institution that gives. That we give love. That we truly desire to manifest love in everything that we do. As believers, as devoted followers of Christ, we should show the world that there is a better way to live, that love is unified throughout the body of believers and then magnified in the world in which we live by what we do and what we give away. We want to be a light on a hill shining in a dark world. What better way to shine a light than to truly love others? What about when I'm wronged? What about when people do me dirty? What about when people say things or I have to put up with the trials and tribulations and the offenses that the Bible says no doubt will come? Well, our response should be what Paul told the church at Rome. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. This is how you respond. He says, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Now, that's not talking about taking burning coals and putting on his head. What that's doing is talking about you will mess with his conscience. You will cause to burn in his heart and in his mind. Wait a second, this person is different. I expected vengeance. I expected some retaliation. I expected some recompense, if you will, for what I did. But instead, I hungered and they gave me food. And I thirsted and they gave me water. Think about when Jesus was on the cross. He asked forgiveness for those who were crucifying. Father, forgive them, he said, for they know not what they do. Now understand this. And it's interesting to note because we often think that forgiveness somehow has to do with whether or not it is accepted. But Jesus gave forgiveness and he gave it unconditionally. He did not need them to accept his forgiveness. The Bible doesn't record anybody looking up to him saying, hey, we accept forgiveness. Jesus simply said, forgive them for they know not what they do. We need to understand that true forgiveness is not conditional. It is not offered on the basis of acceptance or withheld upon rejection. I'm going to say that again. True forgiveness is not conditional. If I truly forgive, the offering of forgiveness is not based upon whether or not it is accepted. And to withhold forgiveness upon rejection, that is not true forgiveness. Forgiveness is unconditional. I forgive them whether or not they ever accept the forgiveness. I forgive them whether or not they respond the way that I would want them to respond. I forgive them whether or not they ever even acknowledge that I've done so. I forgive them not based upon their reaction, not based upon how they respond to it. I give forgiveness simply because I love. And here we have the unusual story, a letter written from the hand of the Apostle Paul to one, Philemon, a brother in the gospel. The letter concerned a runaway slave by the name of Onesimus. I understand, and we need to understand that Paul makes no inference. He doesn't even bring up the issue of slavery in the sense of its right or its wrong. He doesn't. In this letter, he is simply writing Philemon because at that point in time, and according to that culture, slaves were property. Onesimus was, according to the law, Onesimus was the property of Philemon. And because Onesimus had run away, because he had, in a sense, deserted his duties as the property of Philemon, Philemon had within his right, and according to the law of that day, to have a slave run away was a capital punishable offense. In other words, they could be killed. So this is not just a small matter. This is a very serious matter. Somewhere along the line, somewhere in the conversation with the Apostle Paul, somewhere in the conversion of Onesimus, Onesimus comes to Apostle Paul and tells him, I'm a runaway slave. I've deserted my master. I'm a fugitive. I have run away from him. And so now Paul is writing to Philemon. Paul knew the legal authority of those who owned slaves under Roman law. He knew what Roman law was. He didn't write neither to condemn nor to justify slavery. He just simply wanted to bring reconciliation between Philemon and Onesimus. He just wanted Onesimus to be able to go back and repair the wrong. He wanted Onesimus to be able to go back to Philemon and for them to be in right standing one with another. And so Paul sat down and wrote a letter that is in our New Testament today. We need to understand something. The fact that Onesimus ran away was a great offense to Philemon. Onesimus was wrong. He was wrong to do it. He was breaking the law. He was breaking, yes, in some ways and elements, the trust of Philemon. To bring these two men back together in peace was not an easy task.
But the Apostle Paul made some statements, if you will, in his letter that would have made it pretty difficult for Philemon to still hold offense against Onesimus. The Apostle Paul said, listen, if he owes you anything or he's done anything and it needs to be repaid, if he broke items, if you lost wages as a result, and you lost, then let me know and I'll repay. I'll, in a sense, stroke the check myself to cover your damages if you'll just take Onesimus back. I realize maybe, and the Apostle Paul says in this, he said, he was unprofitable unto thee. I realize what he's done has cost thee. Realize it in at the beginning of this, and Onesimus and his what he's done and how he's offended you and how he's run from you and what he's done in the sense of the law and in the sense of his association with you. It's wrong. I'm not trying to justify what he's done. He was unprofitable unto thee. But now I want you to know he's a changed man. You see, he is showing that there has been a conversion in the life of Onesimus. At one point, he was unprofitable unto thee. But now, not only is he profitable to thee, but he's also profitable to me. If I could do it with a clear conscience, Philemon, I'd keep him myself. I'd have him here. He's become like my own son. He's changed, Philemon. He's a different man now. The Onesimus that is coming back to you is not the same Onesimus that ran from you. He's a different man. We don't know what went through Philemon's mind at the reading of this letter. However you think about it, the fact that Paul sent the letter by the hand of Onesimus himself. Here, take this letter. Read it. Or have Philemon rather read it. Shows that there was faith in the Apostle Paul that Philemon would do the right thing and would be reconciled back with Onesimus and the relationship would be restored. The Apostle Paul even said this, and listen, don't just receive him back as a servant. Oh, much more than a servant. Receive him back as if he were my own son, as if I was sending you my own flesh and blood. Receive him. Take him back. Don't hold the offense against him. We don't know what all happened. We don't know how long Onesimus was gone. We don't know what caused him to leave. None of those details are written in this letter. We just know that through Paul's ministry, somehow Onesimus turned his life over to God and had become a great blessing to the Apostle Paul. In fact, if you read down through the wording, at one point Paul refers to him as one who is begotten. In other words, Paul loved him as his own son. It says now he's profitable. Now you will do yourself good by receiving him back into your household. Apostle Paul is not only telling him that the man that is now coming to him is different than the man that he has left. Apostle Paul is reminding Philemon of his own conversion. Listen, I'll pay. Whatever it is, whatever he's cost you, whatever he's caused you to lose in the sense of income, I'll repay. If he's cost you anything, just put it on my account. But don't forget. Don't forget your own conversion, Philemon. And here's the thing we need to be reminded of again and again and again. When we refuse to forgive, when we refuse to look at someone else and love them even though they've made mistakes, we do so because we don't remember our own forgiveness. We don't remember the mercy that has been extended unto us by God. We don't remember that God loved us while we were yet sinners. Bible is very, very plain. Bible tells us that God is love, and we cannot say we love God and hate a brother. Love and unforgiveness are like oil and water. They do not mix. It is impossible to love someone but fail to forgive them. Romans 5:8 says this, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even while we were in the wrong, even while we were living lives, children of disobedience, He still died for us. He still offers unto us forgiveness. And remember, His forgiveness is not conditional. His forgiveness is there. His forgiveness is not withheld should we reject. His forgiveness is there. His forgiveness is available for each and every one of us. And so forgiveness is a prerequisite, if you will, to true love. I cannot truly love without truly forgiving. Because forgiveness, just like love, has to be unconditional. It has to be something that is given regardless of how the response is rendered. It's just given. And God wants us to forgive so that we are free to love like He loves. So we are free to love without condition, without thought of response, without wondering whether or not they will ever respond the way that we wanted them to. You see, at some point in time, Paul, Onesimus, had a conversation wherein was revealed that Onesimus had run away from Philemon. And part of his conversion, part of his understanding and moving forward, was that Onesimus had to face the past. He had to recognize that he had done wrong in relation to Philemon. He had to recognize that he needed to make things right. And so the Apostle Paul felt it was his duty, if you will, to help facilitate that reconciliation. Onesimus, you have to go back. But I want you to go back with this letter. I've addressed it to Philemon. I've written it with my own hand. I trust that he will receive you. And so I'm sending you back with this letter because you have to face the past. You have to realize that you've done wrong. At some point in time, he must have come to that realization and asked the Apostle Paul, how do I make this right? How do I repair what was wrong? Days ago, I watched a testimony of a man, I forget his name, but he talked about his upbringing, his rough life, and how that at the age of 5 and 6, he began to consume alcohol, and his father was an alcoholic, and quickly that became the basis of their relationship. They would go, and even as a young man in his teens, they would go and get drunk together. He talked about how that his parents were, they just, only thing they really loved to do was party, and how that he grew up in that environment, and so that became his own life. He eventually became a musician in a renowned rock band, and living a life that was full of debauchery. Talked about how that when he came the understanding of the love and mercy of Jesus Christ, he said, I went back, and by his own words, this is what he said. He said, I tried to find everybody I had ever wronged and ask them for their forgiveness. He said, anybody and everybody that I could remember that I... He said, I was a mean person. I was hateful. I was violent. He said, I tried to find every individual that I'd ever done wrong to, and I tried to find them to ask their forgiveness because I had to recognize my past. Thought to myself, wow, what a beautiful story. I know the past may be ugly, and I know Onesimus may have looked at it and said, oh, Paul, but you don't understand what I did. You don't understand how I left. You don't understand. We're not given all the details. We don't even know the response of Philemon. We don't. The Bible doesn't give us the conclusion of the matter. And I almost think there's a reason for that. Because love and forgiveness are not on the basis of the result. It's not on the basis of how it all ended up. It's on the basis of what's right and what should have been done. And so the Apostle Paul shows us through this letter to Philemon how Onesimus should respond in his conversion and how Philemon should respond in his reconciliation. But we don't know what happened. And I partly think there's a reason. Because the Word of God wants us to understand it's not about the response. And it's not about the eventual outcome, if you will. It's about doing what is right. In his letter, Paul pleaded with Philemon to forgive Onesimus and welcome him as a brother in the Lord rather than a runaway slave. Listen, Philemon, in part of the reconciliation, you have to look at him different when he comes back. Though physically he may be the same man a few years older, whatever the time span was, you need to understand that in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are becoming new. Sometimes that's hard for us in forgiving other people. Sometimes because we see the face, or we see the mannerisms, or we see the things that remind us of the wrong that was done. If we are not careful, we don't look at them different. Because physically, there's nothing really changed. But spiritually, we need to look at them different. And so the Apostle Paul says, Philemon, this is how you correctly respond. If you're going to reconcile him, if you're going to forgive him and love him as you should, you can no longer look at him as a runaway slave. You have to look at him as a brother in the Lord. And so you know what that would have required of Philemon? It would have required of Philemon to no longer treat him as a slave. Think about it. The treatment of Onesimus would have to be different. But whether or not Philemon ever acquiesced, or whether or not Philemon ever did what he was supposed to do, or what Paul encouraged him to do, we know not. But what we do know is what the Apostle Paul expressed should be done. And you and I, in our love and forgiveness of others, we have to learn to look at them different. We can't look at that individual as the individual who wronged me. I can't look at that individual as the individual who said that. I can't look at that individual as the individual who did those things. I have to look at that individual as a brother or sister in the Lord. And recognize that I too have made mistakes. I too have done wrong. Paul implored Philemon to welcome Onesimus as he would Paul himself. He reminded Philemon that if it were not for Paul, he would not be a believer. For Paul, it seems, had been somewhat responsible for Philemon coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Paul wanted Philemon to remember this as he contemplated the fate of Onesimus. The Apostle Paul realized that he sent Onesimus back to the possibility of his own death. If Philemon did not respond as Paul wished him to do. And so Philemon, when Onesimus comes back and presents himself before him and gives the letter written by Paul's own hand, Philemon faces the test of forgiveness. Will he truly forgive? I believe that he did. I believe the Apostle Paul had enough confidence that he would send Onesimus back with the letter, with the understanding that Philemon was to himself a changed man. Maybe, just maybe. Maybe, just maybe. We don't know. But maybe Philemon's own conversion happened sometime after Onesimus ran away. Maybe the man that Onesimus knew or thought he knew he was going back to was a hard and cruel master. Maybe the Apostle Paul had to convince Onesimus, no, you need to understand, while you are going back a changed man, you are going back to a changed man. We don't know all the details. But in closing, we need to be reminded of this. That we are encouraged by the Word of God to love God and love others. We are commanded to love others as we love God. And to love God as we love others. And if we truly love others, we will forgive them. And as we work through that process, there are considerations that need to be made that are brought here. The Apostle Paul in his final words, "If thou count me therefore a partner, Philemon, receive him as myself. If he have wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides." Philemon, you are to love and forgive because you are loved and forgiven. You can stand to your feet. Child of God, you are to love and forgive because you are loved and forgiven. I'll say that again. You are to love and forgive because you are loved and forgiven. Whenever I think the offense is too great, someone's done me too wrong to love and forgive, let me find myself at the foot of the cross. The one who said in the pain, gasping of breath, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgiveness that was offered without condition. Not given on the basis of whether or not it was accepted. Forgiveness given because He loved. Lord, help us to love with that kind of love. To love and forgive because we are loved and forgiven. These altars are open. Our classes will be returning in a few moments. Lord, help me to be a loving person, a forgiving person. Help me not to hold grudges. Help me to love and forgive because I have been loved and forgiven.
I want to live the way.